Get ready.
How you a revolutionary, but you totally willing to leave weapons on the table that your enemy is fighting to keep you from using anyway?
For real talk.
Being a contrarian for contrary's sake is whack, but the assault on reality has been so thorough, even niggas we used to routinely ignore have somehow found an audience.
All the time.
I'm not above it all, and I won't pretend to be. America provides you all the freedom in the world to be a dummy. You just don't get to be loud and dumb around me.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Anybody want to tell me this? What is the Susie with the six shooters going on here? Somebody get this gun out that child hand now. Her up. Somebody get out of hand, but you mess around to kill everybody in here. I had to duck. Somebody sent me the video. I turned on hell. I started duck. I ain't know what was going on. She just busting like she's shooting like somebody done broke in the house. Like just you ladies, please. I'm gonna need y'all. It is important for you young ladies to get some weapons training. All right, it's important. You got to know what you're doing. She's up here holding a gun. First of all, you're holding it with just one hand and you shooting. Why are you still, how you scared of shooting your gun and you ducking? Why are you shooting then? If you scared, you ducking and jumping from your own shot. But you don't stop pulling the trigger if it startled you.
Oh man, yo, what's going on everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 326 of the report. And yo man, I saw that video on Twitter earlier this week, man. The sister was at the gun range and she was letting that thing go, man. She was letting that damn thing go, but she was scared of it. Like, she was shooting that damn thing, but she wouldn't stop pulling the trigger. I don't know what it was. Like, you scared, but you still pulling the trigger, but you scared. You don't want to drop the gun, but you like, just stop pulling the trigger, put the gun down. That's all she had to do. But yo, man, crazy things happening in the world. We got a lot of shit. A lot of crazy stuff happening in the world. We got so much stuff happening in the world this week, man. I had to chuck some stories, bruh. Like, I had to chuck some. I had so many different stories. And I still got, like, 15 fucking stories. I'm like, goddamn, I got to get through all of them. And we're going to do that. We're going to give it a valiant effort, man. We're going to give it a valiant effort. But, of course, before we do anything, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spann Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. And if you're watching this here live on Crowdcast, I'm sorry, not Crowdcast, what the fuck, Spann, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, and on Periscope. If you're watching us live on any of those platforms, man, you can hit up the hotline, area code 313-288-0485, and chop it up with your man Spann while we talk about the news and the pop culture and the politics of this past week, right? So hit that hotline up, area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show, man. I'm sorry. Leave us those emails. We'll read those emails and reply to those emails here live on the show. Go to our website, www.thespannreport.com, and there you can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. We got a poll up right now for tonight's show. I put this up earlier on social media, whether or not people should actually, whether or not we should have voting as a national holiday. So that poll is going on right now. You guys have time to vote in that. Go to our website, though, www.thespannreport.com, and go to this particular episode that way you can vote in the poll before we get to reading those results. Also, you can go there and donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Spann Report Podcast Network. And go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man, and leave us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get right here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, man. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everyone know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spann Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. So yeah, we got the business up out of the way, man. And, you know, first things first, man, you know, I kind of start these things off with like a couple random thoughts, man. And I got a few. I got a few of these this week, man. And one of the first things I was thinking about, man, is, you know, it's cold. It's cold here, man. I think it's like maybe 13 degrees outside these walls right now, man. It's kind of cold outside. And it snowed here earlier and shit, you know. It was like cold and like snowy and stuff. And I know it's Michigan and shit, and I shouldn't complain because I've been in Michigan like for the better part of my 40 years, bro. Like, and I live in like, I'm either you in Michigan or Illinois. Like, I'm from Chicago too. So it's like, yo, man, all my life, this time of year, it's been snowy and it's been cold. And if your coat is little, you know, the wind will disrespect the fuck out of your coat. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is where I'm from. But real talk, I'm going to just, I'm going to need spring to bring her balmy fucking rainy ass on, bruh. Like, I'm a little tired, man. I think the winter blues have finally gotten to your boy, man. Like, you get up in the morning like, fuck, I got to go out in this shit, man. Every day, man, it's like that, man. Every day. You wake up in the morning and it's fucking black outside. Like, the street light's still on. The sun ain't risen and shit. And then I'm outside all day. I'm working. And then by the time I get home, nigga, it's dark again, bro. Like, you know, like, it's dark all day. I can't even enjoy my off time because it's dark, nigga. It's time to go to bed, bro. Time to go to bed. And it's like, you know, I'm a little tired of that. Springtime, you need to bring your ass on, man. Bring your ass on for real, man. Real talk. Another thing I was thinking about, man, because it's so cold, man. You know, a lot of folks, you know, y'all got dogs and shit, right? Like, y'all got your dogs or whatever, you know. So, and I know, you know, a lot of folks be having, like, different types of relationships with their dogs. You know, you got some people who, like, really treat their dogs like a member of the family. You know, the dogs have gifts and stuff come Christmas time. They get gifts and things come Valentine's Day. The dogs are treated like one of the kids in the family, right? You always feel like he's part of the group, right? He's part of the pack, right? Sometimes folks let the dog sleep in the beds with them. Sometimes the dog sleep at the foot of the bed. Sometimes, like, the dog is where the family's at, right? But then you got some other motherfuckers who got dogs, and they treat dogs like just this other entity. They, like, the dog never comes to the house. The dog is relegated to the backyard. He chained to a fence or a post or a tree or some shit like that. Dog never comes in. They might throw him some food. They feed him the leftovers that they got finished eating or whatever. But they do it to keep the dog mean, right? I'm going to keep my dog mean because you don't want nobody to come around the house, man. King been outside all his life. He ain't never known no inside life. He don't know nothing about that inside life. King been outside all his life. He's like a mechanic and shit. You know what I'm saying? And like, yo, bring King inside though, bruh. Because I know sometimes, man, y'all get the Dobermans. Y'all get the Rottweilers, the Pit Bulls. You know, I know they're like good guard dogs, man. They guard the house, man. They make the noise, this, that, and the other. But King ain't guarding shit if he out there froze to death, bruh. Let King live like a king for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Bring him in the crib, man. It's 7 degrees outside, man. What you doing? And that hay ain't cutting it, bruh. Bring him in the crib, man, where the heat is at, where you was at. You know, that's just, I'll be thinking about that shit, man. Because when I'm at work, man, I'll be seeing animals in like certain conditions. Like, man, I need to call the peoples on y'all ass, man, for real. And I ain't even like to call the peoples kind of dude. But, you know, I just be seeing that shit, man. So, yeah, I was thinking about that. Bring them dogs in, man. Another thing while we bitching about wintertime and like and whatnot, man. Kitties, gather around. Your Uncle Span got something to tell you. Okay. Now, I know that, like, your parents are the people that you look up to. You know, I know that. I know, like, you really admire your mom and your dad. They provide for you. They put food on you in your stomach and clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and video games for you to play with. They give you all of that. And you revere them. And you should revere them. But I'm here to let you know that sometimes, man, your parents be lying to y'all. Yeah, bro, they be lying. Your parents be lying to you. And the reason why I know they be lying to you, because I grew up with your parents, man. I was there with your parents, right? So around this time of year, your parents probably told you that, like, you know, they resent the fact that you at home from school on a school day, right? They resent this fact. Like, they hate the fact that your ass at home. And you're like, man, when I was going to school, you ain't going to stay at home. It could be 3 feet of snow outside, nigga. Your ass getting up, you was going out there to go to school. What no snow day? What the hell is a snow day? I don't know what a snow day is. Like,
all right, Dad, we know you done told us this every winter for the last 6 winters, Dad. We know every year you walk 3 feet of snow to go to school.
Your daddy lying, man. Your mama lying too, right? especially if they went to school in like the 80s and the 90s. Them niggas didn't walk to no goddamn 3 feet of snow. We had snow days too, man. I know, because I was off on those snow days just like they was. Out in front of the house, building snow forts and stuff, man. Making snowball fights and all this other shit. Getting the good packed snow from the street to fortify your fort with. I know this because I was there, bruh. Your parents lying to you, man. Even your grandparents, some of them lying too. They went no damn 3 feet of snow. Here's the rub. It might have been 16 inches, right? Now remember, your parents was kids then, which means it was probably shorter then too, right? Your granddaddy wasn't always 6'5". It was a time where your granddaddy might have been like 5'3". You know what I'm saying? And he walked through the snow. It might seem like 3 feet of snow to him because he's short. It was 12 inches. It might have been a foot. Then balloon this story up to you, talking about they done walked through fucking 3 feet of snow, man. It's some bullshit. I'm here to let you know that. So if you got problems, tell them to call your dear Uncle Span, man. Real talk. Tell them to call your dear Uncle Span. I set them straight, man. Because they ain't gonna run up on me with the bullshit, because I know I was there. Right? So, yo, man. Those have been my random thoughts. Time for us to get in the news. Wait a second. It's not just the news. We got some breaking fucking news. All right, man. Our first story here in the news has to do with the fact that, yo, man, Donald motherfucking Trump just got acquitted in his impeachment trial for inciting an insurrection.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. So let me go here. Let's go to the breaking news, man. Let's see what they're talking about. We get this story here. This comes from NBCNews.com. It says the Senate on Saturday voted to acquit former President Donald Trump on charge of incitement of insurrection, largely along party lines, bringing an end to the fourth impeachment trial in U.S. history and the second for Trump. This nigga is literally the biggest loser. Everything he does is, like, spectacularly bad. The second time a nigga's been impeached, man. The first time in history. Only 7 Republicans voted to convict Trump for allegedly inciting the deadly January 6th riot at the Capitol when a mob of pro-Trump supporters tried to disrupt the electoral vote count, formalizing Joe Biden's election win before a joint session of Congress. The final vote was 57 to 43, far short of the 67 votes needed to secure a conviction. Republican Senators Richard Burr of North Carolina, Susan Collins of Maine, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania all voted guilty. The vote means the Senate cannot bar Trump from holding future federal offices. With control of the Senate split 50-50, the House managers always had an uphill battle when it came to convicting enough Republicans to cross party lines and convict the former president, who is still very popular with a large part of the GOP base. Now, listen here, man. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. I know there's a lot of people who's upset right now. A lot of people who aren't necessarily familiar with the process, didn't get the civics lessons and shit in school or whatever. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Just like I said on the last impeachment that happened, like, I know a lot of folks were just like, well, we already know what the outcome is going to be. Therefore, this is a waste of time. Like, dude, some things you have to do because you have to do them, right? Like, you file your taxes every year knowing you ain't getting a goddamn thing back. But you got to do it, right? So this is one of those things, man. Like, the shit is so bad that you got to do it. Now, whether or not Republicans were going to do the right thing or the wrong thing, now they're on record of having doing the wrong thing, right? Now, history can judge them, this, that, and the other, right? But here's the other part about this that I think a lot of folks tend to like kind of get upset about. And I think they have their anger aimed at the wrong place. There's a lot of people on social media right now who are upset at Democrats, right? They're upset at, they voted not to have witnesses come in, and, you know, that could have been the thing to turn the tide on this. And I'm here to tell y'all, man, that wasn't going to be the thing to turn the tide. The trial would have lasted a little bit longer. It would have been delaying the inevitable. Republicans have been showing y'all for the better part of my fucking life that they don't really have any scruples about doing the right fucking thing, man. They just don't. And so the idea that them having, witnesses as new information came in, like, man, these Republicans already had their minds made up before the trial ever really started. I think maybe one of them might have had their minds changed. But we saw these motherfuckers meeting with Trump's lawyers and shit during the trial. Like, what kind of court do you know where the jurors meet up with the defense attorneys during the trial? That just doesn't happen, right? So the fix was in on the trial or the outcome of it from the very beginning. So now what do you do? I know a lot of folks, like I said, mad at the Democrats. The thing is now, you got to have that same energy in 2022 that you had in 2020 to get not only Donald Trump about the paint, but also in 2018 when we got those Republicans about the House and the majority in the House. You got to have that same energy come midterms, because this is the fight that does not stop. This is going to continue to go. And so they like, yo, hey, we got our eye on 2020. Our Republican base likes Donald Trump. We don't want to cross them and therefore lose our spots in the legislature. So we're going to hold, we're going to cover our own asses. This is essentially what's happening with the Republican Party. They're going to cover their own asses with a smaller subset of the population. And like I said, Republicans largely represent a minority in the larger scheme of American politics, right? As far as the amount of people that they actually represent, they represent a minority, right? They have an outsized influence politically based upon the amount of people that they actually represent. And so it a lot of things don't necessarily happen in the ways in which they should because of the foundational structure of the government. Some things got to change, man. Either you mobilize and activate people in those districts and in those states to get them to move these dudes the fuck up out of there, or the same thing is going to continue to happen. The same things are going to continue to happen. They are looking to pull everything back. Progress ain't easy. Getting a whole bunch of motherfuckers to move forward is not the easiest motherfucking thing in the world to do. We're seeing that now. And so I know a lot of folks, like I said, are upset, rightfully so. Like, you know, and they were pointing out the seven, you know, Republicans who were voting in favor of impeachment. And I know there's going to be this impetus to where like, oh, how brave. How brave of Senator Sass and Senator Murkowski and Mitt Romney has really been showing his mettle and his courage and his, like, yeah, they gonna be laying it on thick with these motherfuckers. And truthfully speaking, the bar is on the fucking floor because they're essentially giving them credit for admitting that they saw the same shit that everybody else saw, right? Right? So, again, take that anger and focus it in the right place, man. We knew Trump wasn't going to be, we knew he was not going to be convicted in this impeachment trial, right? The other part about this is that even when he got impeached, right? Say that the Republicans decided they were going to vote to impeach Donald Trump, and that, you know, he could never serve in federal office again. That is essentially what his punishment would have been, that he could never serve in official office again, federal office or whatever else, right? That's it. That's the punishment. He doesn't go to jail because he got convicted in impeachment. He doesn't get like any sort of fine because he got convicted in an impeachment. It was mostly to bar him from running for public office, right? So, you know, the fight is now, like, he may not even go to jail behind what he did with the insurrection. He still got cases that he's fighting for income tax, like he's got like tax problems that he got in like New York and shit. He's got like tax issues going on in DC, I believe. Like, he's still got shit going on that could lead, that has him in legal jeopardy. He may not be eligible if he's a convicted felon, right? So there's that thing going on. But honestly, at this point, like, we knew he wasn't going to be convicted. And I need y'all to like kind of pump the brakes on "I'm not going to vote," because I've seen that already. I've seen motherfuckers doing it already. "I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote come 2022. You're shooting yourself in your own foot by doing that, right? Every last one of the Democrats, every last one of them voted to impeach this fucker and to convict him. Every last one of them. It was Republicans who got this dude off. So if you're mad at anybody, you should be mad at the Republicans for allowing him, like, to basically just say, "Fuck your democracy. I want to take it away from you." And Republicans are like too pussy to do anything about it. You know, so, yo, man, that's in the news, man. Another thing that we got here in the news is the Biden administration is on track to have 100 million doses of the coronavirus vaccine distributed before his first 100 days in office. All right, we get this story here. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up. I hate the way Pocket is redesigning this shit, man. It's like they could have just left well enough alone. Where is my news? Here we go. All right. So, yeah, man, he's distributing 100 million coronavirus shots in the first 100 days. We get this story out of NBC News. It says President Joe Biden is on track to meet his goal of administering 100 million COVID-19 shots in his first 100 days in office. White House coronavirus coordinator Jeffrey Zients said Wednesday. Biden had created some confusion around his vaccination goal after he said in his second week in office that he was eyeing a more ambitious goal of 1.5 million vaccine shots in a day, forcing some members of administration to walk back the number. We've been making steady progress over the past few weeks, getting more vaccine supply, getting more vaccinators on the ground, and creating more places to get vaccinated. We're on track to meet the president's goal of delivering 100 million shots in his first 100 days. Zients said the administration is averaging 1.5 million shots per day, up from 1.1 million 2 weeks ago. The administration also announced Wednesday that it would set up 3 new mass vaccination centers in Texas as part of efforts to ramp up the number of Americans receiving shots. The vaccination centers will be at Ferris Plaza Park in Dallas NRG Stadium in Houston and at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. The Texas centers will collectively administer more than 10,000 shots a day and are expected to open the week of February 22nd. So, yeah, man, like, isn't it nice to kind of have like a competent fucking president again? Like, isn't it nice to not have to worry about the president being out here doing something stupid and shit? Like, you know, the news that you get out of the White House is like the White House actually doing the business of the American people, right? It's kind of refreshing to, like, know that it's boring again at the White House. We ain't got to worry about what this nigga done said on the toilet. Nah, man. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, he on some bullshit. Every day it was like that, right? So, not only that, you know, like, Even with so many people still kind of being skeptical, I know a lot of folks personally who are still kind of skeptical about whether or not they're going to take the coronavirus vaccine. I'm scheduled to have it Monday. I'm scheduled to get the vaccine Monday. So, of course, we'll be talking about the vaccine and how I'm feeling about it and, you know, the effects it has had on me once I've taken it. And we'll talk about that here on the show. But, yeah, man, like 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccines, man. That's dope, man, especially when we start talking about how we want to get back to normal. We want to go back to going to, like, to the movies. We want to go back to going to eat at restaurants. We want to go back to sporting events. We want to do all of these things. We want to send the kids back to school. We want to have proms and graduations. We want to have face-to-face meets and shit. Like, we want to do all of these things, but so many people just don't want to do the fucking work in order for us to get there. And so it's promising to see that some of the work is being accomplished and some of the work is being done. And hopefully, you know, by the end of the year, we'll be back to some level of normalcy as opposed to, you know, the shit that we got to kind of deal with right now, man. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news, and this also has to do with the COVID-19 vaccine, is the fact that, like, yo, man, people are actually turning to, like, bots. Like, you know, when you're trying to buy shoes and PlayStation 5s and shit. Yeah. They're turning to bots so that they can actually get a COVID-19 vaccination appointment at their local pharmacies, man. What? Yeah, yeah, that's happening. That's fucking happening. We get this story here. This comes out of the Chicago Sun-Times. It says only 4 days into efforts to get vaccines into the arms of senior citizens, complaints are piling up about clunky websites and scarce appointment times at some of the pharmacies distributing the shots. Some seniors are giving up in frustration because of the cutthroat competition, and those without access to a computer or high-speed internet are likely to get left behind. It's like the Hunger Games. We're all just trying to get ours, said Tanya Stabler Miller of North Center, describing an inequitable system that forces people to scramble. She tried countless times on several different pharmacy websites to get a vaccine for her mother, Priscilla, 75, who's battling cancer. She even enlisted family members to divvy up the online searches. Miller's mother-in-law just recovered from COVID-19, but sadly her father-in-law, who was 85, died from the virus 2 weeks ago. He was a week away from getting a vaccine. Desperate to help her mom, Miller stumbled upon a bot created by a Twitter user to continuously search the clunky Walgreens website for any openings. One came up in Calumet City, and she was lucky enough to grab it. Two Chicago Sun-Times reporters tested 3 of the sites at the various times this week to try to obtain vaccine appointments for their relatives ages 65 and up. Neither had any luck, which is not surprising given the scarcity available of vaccines everywhere. However, some websites were easier to use than others. Here's what we found. So, first of all, here's the thing, and this is something I was just on the phone with my cousin like a few minutes ago before I went on, and we were talking about the fact that I'm going to get vaccinated on the 15th. On the 15th. And you know, cuz was like, nah, I don't think I'm gonna do that. You know, I don't know about that, right? And I get it, man. Everybody don't, you know, you deal with it how you feel like you got to deal with it personally, man. But one of the things that I was saying was like yo, it's, for one, it's a lot of white folks who also are like trying to get this shot, who are jumping the line to get this shot. Like a lot of well-to-do people have been able to like kind of jump lines and use their influence to kind of get vaccinated, to get back to the life that they used to have. And you got a lot of people who desperately need it, who should take it and should have it. And because especially within our own community where we are dying at a more disproportionate rate than anybody dealing with this virus, we are being infected more than anybody dealing with this virus. Our symptoms are more pronounced than any other people dealing with this virus. Like, it's so many different things that disproportionately affect black people, to where, like, you know, the fact that we're so skeptical about it is like, yo, man, I don't know, man. We probably being skeptical to our own detriment at this point, right? But here you got people who have to resort to the same tactics that people who are trying to buy a PlayStation 5 and some Yeezys are when it comes to getting an appointment for the COVID vaccine, right? Now, I know President Biden has just announced, and it wasn't a part of that story that I read earlier, but he had just announced that the U.S. government had just secured enough coronavirus vaccines for everybody. Now they got to get the vaccine, they got to get the vaccines distributed, right? But the fact that people had to resort to this level of, you know, technology in order to get something that should have been readily available to them, you know, like, especially considering like the rollout has been kind of slow and there's only certain people who are eligible to get it. But even the people who are eligible to get it, not being able to get it is a problem. And so, like, yo, man, it's tripped the fuck out that people are resorting to the same tactics that folks who are trying to get PlayStation 5s and Yeezys, they are doing that with the, like, with the fucking coronavirus vaccine. And I know I've seen people joke about this, man. I'm like, yo, man, you're going to fuck around and see that, you know, like, the coronavirus vaccine is going to be on, like, StockX or some shit. And real talk, it just might. It just might. Somebody got a fucking bot. You're going to be on the bot and you selling a fucking appointment from Walgreens on StockX for the coronavirus vaccine. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. But that's in the news. Another story that we got here in the news, man. There was a judge here in Michigan who released a prisoner. Now, this prisoner was convicted of murder. He was serving two life sentences. And this judge opted to release this prisoner on a COVID vaccine, like a COVID-19, like, mercy sort of releasing shit.
God damn!
Yeah. Yeah, he's a convicted murderer serving two life terms, right? Now, this particular prisoner, I don't believe was released, but because I believe his order was stayed, right? But we're gonna read this story. As a matter of fact, is there a video? Yeah, there's video to this story. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch right along with your man Span. Hold on a second. Here we go. Oh shit! All right. So basically, the judge is issuing a clarification as to why he decided to release this guy, because he was getting a lot of pushback and some flack for the fact that he released this guy despite the fact that he was a murderer and he was doing two life sentences. So I'm just waiting for this damn video to kind of load up. I don't understand why my Comcast that I pay for gigabit speeds and I ain't getting them Comcast. I'm gonna call their asses out. I'm calling all these companies out for this poor service, man. Call him out all 2021, baby. All right. So, yeah, okay. So here we go. Let's see what they're talking about.
Decision to free a convicted killer after an appeals court put a stop to it. As we first reported last week, John Bass was serving two life sentences for murder and major drug crimes. That's when Judge Arthur Tarnow granted him a COVID compassionate release. The appeals court said, not so fast. And now Judge Tarnow has issued a rare clarification. 7 Action News reporter Jim Kirstner joins us live right now with what he has found out.
Jim? Cold as shit.
Carolyn, John Bass remains in custody tonight after turning himself in over the weekend. The Court of Appeals issued the stay on this release late Friday night and could decide if this was an abuse of discretion by Judge Tarnow here. The appeals court noted that a victim who was contacted about this possible release feared Bass so much that he or she would not provide their current contact information. They didn't want to be tracked down.
The assault on the apartment comes fast.
Featured all over on YouTube, Young Boys Incorporated was a major heroin, cocaine, and drug distribution operation in Detroit for decades. A U.S. attorney in Detroit appealed the release of John Bass, writing, "During his decade-long leadership over a multi-state drug organization, Bass ordered the killing of his own brother. Then to cover up that murder, Bass and his accomplices shot the hitman to death and burned the body. Bass also shot and set on fire at least one other victim and tortured him with a hot poker." That release was granted by Detroit federal judge Arthur Tarnow, who presided more than 20 years ago over a three-week trial. The jury found Bass guilty, but turned down the death penalty. Judge Tarnow imposed two life sentences without parole. Judge Tarnow today wrote, "Courts have wide latitude to exercise discretion. This court stands alone with the institutional memory of John Bass, not just as a case, but as a person. This court, considering the severity of Bass's crimes, believed even at the compassionate release hearing that he had earned his original sentence. And this court, using its unique perspective, carefully evaluated and ultimately decided that Bass had presented extraordinary and compelling reasons to be released." During his 22 years in prison, John Bass completed a GED high school education, trained to become a life coach. He weighed 322 pounds, was a high risk for COVID. 46% of inmates in that Pennsylvania prison had contracted COVID. And John Bass told me on the phone last week while he was out that he'd gotten a driver's license, he'd gotten a job, was living with family in East Point. Court of Appeals has given both sides until next week to file briefs on this before deciding if he remains locked up. Carolyn?
Jim, I got...
All right, so first of all, I didn't know they let that nigga out. Like, I didn't know if they even got that far that they even let him out, but that's crazy. They let that dude out. Whew, they let that dude out. But here's the thing, right? So this kind of goes into the whole idea of, what exactly are we using prisons for, right? Now, I have family who have been convicted of murder. They are home now. As a matter of fact, I remember I had an uncle who, when he did his crime, I might have been, 12? Might have been like 12 or 13 or something like that. And he got out maybe 6 years ago. So I was like 30 something when he got out. Totally different dude. I don't know if I'm articulating this the right way, but like, you don't get like those sorts of vibes that he's capable of doing that again, if that makes any sense, right? But he's out, right? And so, like, I guess the thing is, are we using the prisons solely, and this is just like, you know, on some perspective sort of shit, do we want the prisons to solely be a place where we just throw away the people whom we deem undesirable? Or do we want prisons to be a place that they have been, you know, pretty much told to us that they were supposed to be for rehabilitation, right? I know a lot of, like, they've taken out a lot of programs out of the prison industry, like the prison complex and all that other shit. Like, you know, like the fact guys used to be able to get college degrees in prisons. I don't know if they even allow for that to happen anymore. You know, they said this guy trained to be a life coach. I didn't like to be a life coach, man. Like, you know, like it. How do you do that? Like, I've had a life coach on the show, and my first question is like, how do you be a life coach? Like, how do you become that? Right? He did that in prison. And so like the judge is like, yo, man, so he's done all of this work. He's done all the things that we pretty much ask people to do when they go to jail, and he's done that. And so I use my judgment to say, well, like, it's been X amount of years. He's done all of these things to help better himself since he's been in there. I don't believe this is the same John Bass that went in. I don't think this guy is the same guy that we put in there. He's a totally different kind of guy. And, you know, like, the flip side of that is like, yo, man, but he did this. And this guy should never get out because he did this. And that's where you know, I don't know where people could really land on that. Like, I know you got a lot of prison abolitionists who feel like, nah, man, that guy can't, you know, that guy can't be, you know, walking amongst us. And then, you got prison abolitionists who be like, nah, man, we should embrace this. And then you got other folks who are like, nah, fuck that. Right? Fuck that. So, yo, man, they actually let that dude out. He got a driver's license and everything. He's back to trying to live his life. And he may be going back to prison to finish out the rest of that term, which means he will never be back out of jail, man. So that's in the news. The last story that we have here in the news, man, is the Michigan Secretary of State has proposed that Election Day be deemed a holiday here in the state of Michigan, man. Yeah, I laugh because I don't think it's going to happen, but it's an ambitious plan. So we're going to read this story. As a matter of fact, I think there's video to this, too. Let me go ahead and pull up this video. I'm sorry. I don't have to read. I'm trying to cut down the reading tonight, y'all. I did a lot of reading. last time. Let me go ahead and pull this video up. Let's go ahead and view the original. All right. Man. Like, Comcast really shitting on your boy tonight, man. This ain't even fair. Like, this ain't even fair.
Tonight, Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson is calling for major election as part of the agenda.
That comes as we continue to await the results of the statewide audit of the 2020 election. Grant Herms following this with more on what she's pushing for and what the other side has to say about it, Grant.
Devin, Kimberly, good evening. Benson reiterated today that Michigan's 2020 election was safe and one of the smoothest in recent memory, but she does want major changes. Some of those changes were challenged in court in 2020. Others were opposed by Republicans, and some of those same Republicans today already starting to push back.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson pushing for sweeping changes to Michigan's elections. Among the changes, things like starting true early voting and prohibiting deceptive election practices, along with requiring a statewide audit before making the results official. There could also be some changes to Election Day itself, moving the May and August elections to a single June election, and making Election Day a holiday to make it easier to vote and volunteer. There were also hot-button issues from 2020, like requiring absentee ballot applications be mailed to every registered voter, allowing clerks to start processing ballots 2 weeks before Election Day, and allowing mail-in ballots postmarked by Election Day or just after to be counted. All things Republicans pushed back on in the run-up to last November. Benson's saying today she wants to work across the aisle.
I believe wholeheartedly in the principles of bipartisan consensus and cooperation. I also believe in making data-driven decisions about the best policies to put into place.
But some Republicans not buying it. Brighton Representative Ann Boland saying today, our focus must be on improving transparency, protecting election integrity, and restoring the public's trust.
Okay, here's the thing. She says our focus must be on improving transparency, protecting election integrity, and restoring the public's trust. The reason why the public doesn't have trust in the election system right now is because Donald Trump, for the time he became a major political figure, has been running this idea that everything is rigged. From the very first time we saw this motherfucker, like every time he had his name was up on the ballot, he said the shit was rigged. And the only reason he could lose is if it wasn't rigged. Even the one he won in 2016, he said the shit was rigged, but he wouldn't believe so if he won. And he ran this shit now. Like, so the fact that they keep talking about people, we need to restore the public's trust. Like, how much motherfucking more public can you be with, like, hey, everybody, we can all vote today. We got the day off. Everybody who's registered to vote, go vote. Hey, you got real early voting going on here. We can get some of these votes counted before Election Day so we don't have this bullshit red mirage where you got Republicans thinking that we in front right now because we got the Election Day ballots, right? When we got real early voting as opposed to just the absentee shit. But if you got real early voting, they don't even have that red mirage anymore. Make the process open for all registered voters. They want to constrict the amount of people who have access to the franchise, man. I can't explain this any simpler. They want to restrict the access that people have to the franchise because Republicans represent a smaller group of people. They know this. The only way they can win elections is to constrict the amount of people who can vote to even the things out for them. That's it. That's the only way it works. That's the only way it works for them.
Not on constitutionally questionable proposals that advance the Secretary of State's own political agenda. A sign the wounds from 2020 have yet to heal in 2021. And Benson also took aim at Republicans who have continued to say that the election was rife with problems today. She said that their task is simple, to tell the voters the truth.
All right, man. So, yeah, man, Republicans, of course, against all of these advances in actually letting people vote. And like I said, it's because they know they'll lose, man. But that has been the news, y'all. But y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Nigga just say blue blazes.
All right, our first story here in blue blazes, man, is yo, you niggas done plotted and you schemed and you begged and you like begged some more, and finally McDonald's is bringing back the high C orange. Yeah, man. So we get the story here. This comes out of, hold on, let me pull this up. Get on my job, Span. Get on your job. Let's get on here. Yo, high C, this is actually from delish.com. It says, although McDonald's, as we currently know it, is pretty darn amazing, have ever heard of the spicy McChicken nuggets? Hey, you know what? Can I confess something to y'all, man? I've had those spicy chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and I gotta say it, man, not a fan.
First of all, fuck you.
Well, goddamn, like, no, I'm just saying they are all right, you know what I'm saying? I don't like, for one, they're not really like spicy, you know, like I think Wendy's chicken nuggets are a lot more spicy than the McDonald's ones, if I'm being honest, man. I'm just trying to be open and transparent with you guys, man, but they are all right, you know. They talking about some amazing, you're laying on a little thick there. But it says there are still a few discontinued menu items that we've been missing. We're talking snack wraps, salad shakers, and most importantly, orange high C. And though we can't get some of them back, we just got the news that they're about to be reunited with our favorite orange drink. McDonald's announced today that high C orange lava burst, which you might know best as high C orange, is officially coming back to menus nationwide. This drink first came to McDonald's in 1955 and developed a massive following for how perfectly it paired with the Big Mac and fries. The chain says it has gotten countless requests to bring this fan favorite drink back ever since it disappeared back in 2017, even seeing petitions, but soon it will be back in our cups. Now, here's the thing that I don't understand, though, right? I don't get, like, you know, McDonald's must be making like a shit ton of money, because it don't make sense to like take away popular food items. I don't be understanding, like, you know, like with the Cajun rice thing with Popeyes, like I kind of wonder, like, although I like Cajun rice, I kind of wonder, like, is it like we are vocal minority, those of us who, you know, really want the Cajun rice to come back or whatever, you know, because it doesn't really make sense to get rid of a popular food item. Same thing with this high C orange. I just kind of wonder, like, yo, yeah, there were petitions and people were mad about it, but were they like a real just vocal minority, right? Like, was the vast majority of people like, man, I got to have that high C orange when I go to the Mickey D's, man. Like, I wonder if that's like what this is, you know? Now, they brought it back, you know, kudos to them and shit. Hopefully Popeyes do the same with the goddamn Cajun rice. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if it's so popular, why do they feel so comfortable getting rid of the shit? Says high C orange will begin rolling out to select McDonald's. Oh, you ain't even getting them at all of them. Ain't that some shit? Starting this month, it will be available as a regular soft drink option at all participating locations nationwide by this June. Ah, Juneteenth. Okay, I see what y'all doing there. I see what you're doing. Okay, McDonald's. I see it. Y'all placating the black base. Okay, y'all pandering. Y'all do a little pandering. Hey man, we bringing the high C orange back. Let the blacks know we're bringing it back in February, and then boom, hit them with it on the June 19th. I see what you're doing. I'm picking up what you're putting down, all right? This is, and if you just can't take the anticipation starting on Monday, you can drop your zip code into McFinder.com and find the closest McDonald's location that has high seat available. So, yo, man, McDonald's has brung back the high seat orange for the Black History Month, and the world is a better place. Real talk. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazes is apparently Aunt Jemima has finally got kicked out of, like, the syrup game, and people are fucking upset about it, man.
Oh, ho, brother, ho, whoa, 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 now. You got too much dip on your chip.
I don't have nothing on any chips at this moment, and apparently neither does Aunt Jemima, because they didn't, like I said, taking her off of the packaging. So we get this story here. This comes out of TMZ.com. It says it's an historic day for all Americans who love pancakes. Aunt Jemima is officially out, and Pearl Milling Company is in. PepsiCo, the parent company of the syrup giant, announced Tuesday that it is starting a new day with Pearl Milling Company, rooted in the brand's historic beginnings and its mission to create moments that matter at the breakfast table. There's a lot of corporate speak for, we scrapped Aunt Jemima and created a new logo that's still tied to history, but without the stereotype image of a Black woman with a headscarf in the kitchen. PepsiCo filed to trademark the new logo on February 1st. You'll recall last summer the company said Aunt Jemima had to go after it took a look at all its brands to ensure they reflect our values and meet our consumers' expectations. It's a reckoning several companies had in the wake of George Floyd's death and a national outcry for racial equality. The previous logo had been a staple for more than 130 years, but PepsiCo admitted while the Aunt Jemima brand was updated over the years in a manner intended to remove racial stereotypes, it had not progressed enough to appropriately reflect the dignity, respect, and warmth that we stand for today. The character, of course, was based in the 1800s Mammy, a Black servant in a white household. The Aunt Jemima figure was portrayed by a real-life woman named Nancy Green, who actually had been born into slavery. So here's the thing, man. Let me see if I can pull this up. Let's see. Pearl Millicom. I want to pull up some images real quick for you guys to check out here in a second. I want to show y'all something. Let's see, images. Let's go to the images. All right. I'm pull that up. Okay, let me share this with you guys real quick. Let me do this here. Check this out, man. This is the packaging here. Aunt Jemima, Pearl Milling Company, original, and all that other stuff, right? Here's the syrup. Here's the syrup bottles and stuff. Right? So, I bring this up because I saw a lot of white folks upset. I saw a lot of white people upset at the fact that Aunt Jemima was being taken off of the packaging, and they were talking about Miss Green and how her family may have been feeling about the fact that Aunt Jemima was being taken off of the packaging. And how this is woke, woke people being, running amok and changing what they thought about, making them think about things that they hadn't really thought of before, by saying like, yo, this was a fucking racial stereotype, despite the fact that this woman was a part of, popularizing it. This was a racial stereotype. Whether her family benefited for it or not doesn't make it any less of a racial stereotype, right? And so I saw a bunch of people on Facebook, because the news, put this up and, you look at the comments and whatnot. And I saw a bunch of people talking about how they weren't going to buy the Pearl Milling Company syrup anymore, or the Pearl Milling Company pancake mix and things like that, because they were mad at the fact that they took the Aunt Jemima picture off of the bottles and the boxes and stuff. And then you start seeing people wax poetically and nostalgically about how, when I go to the grocery store, I would always look for her warm face, and it always brought back good memories, And because they've taken her face off, and it's like, I just think about my grandma bringing me pancakes, I just think about her, drizzling the syrup, it gives me a nice warm feeling, and they've taken that away from me now, and I'll never buy this stuff again. It's bullshit, man. You see this all over, social media. And then you find, the random nigga that's like, I ain't never had a problem with it to begin with. It's always one. And then the white people gravitate to them because they the special Negro and shit. But I say all of that, man, because I'm looking at this stuff. It's like, yo, the packaging doesn't look that much different than the original packaging with Aunt Jemima on it. The lettering and shit is still the same. The colors on the box and the labels and stuff still the same. Hell, the ingredients to the syrup and the pancake mix must be the same too. Now, if they'd have said they changed the recipe to the syrup and the pancake mix and shit, then maybe y'all might have a leg to stand on. But if y'all mad about this racist ass image of this black mammy on some syrup, then I don't know what the fuck to tell you, man. Like, y'all full of shit. I don't know what the fuck to tell you, man. Look at this shit, man. It's the same. It's the fucking same, bro. Like, hold on. Aunt Jemima. Like, look at this, man. So, like, real talk, we knew this was coming. They talked about this last summer, you know. And, you know, it was some people like, man, you know, talking about history and, like, the family. Like, yo, the family stood to benefit, man. Also, let's keep that in mind, too. The family probably getting paid by the Pepsi company for the likeness of their relative or for their ancestor or whatever. That's what their main, that's what I would attribute their main objection would be. It's not because, like, yo, we want, like, this racial stereotype to continue to be used. Like, nah, man. But, yo, I'm, like, to see so many people being upset about, like, Aunt Jemima being taken off a pancake box and like, syrup, man. It's fucking ridiculous, man. And it was, like, it was wild, like, just watching a whole bunch of white folks bitching about Aunt Jemima being taken off a pancake box, man. Real talk. But that's crazy. And that's in Blue Blazes. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazes is, yo, man, there was a YouTuber, 20-year-old YouTuber, who was killed while performing a robbery prank for his fucking YouTube channel.
Got him! Got him!
Apparently not. Apparently he got. And we read the story here. This comes out of KTLA.com. It says, a 20-year-old man was shot to death during a prank robbery stage for social media Friday night in Tennessee. KTLA sister station WKRN in Nashville reports. Timothy Wilkes was shot and killed in a parking lot at Urban Air on Old Hickory Boulevard in Hermitage around 9:20 p.m., according to a news release from the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department. Detectives were told Wilkes and a friend were participating in a prank robbery as part of a YouTube video and approached a group of people, including the shooter, with butcher knives. A 23-year-old man told police he wasn't aware the robbery was a prank and shot Wilkes, saying his actions were in self-defense, according to the release. Several businesses are near the scene where the shooting happened, including the trampoline park. This is like a huge kids area, and when we were in there, there were tons of tiny kids, and it's just like, that would not be a great idea, Emily Yeager, a customer at the trampoline park, told WKRN, especially if anyone was walking out here or something like that. No charges have been filed, and the investigation is ongoing. Now, I've seen these prank videos, man. You know, where you run up on these strangers and shit, or sometimes they're staged and these people aren't strangers, but you run up on these. As a matter of fact, I saw a video not too long ago. There was this this dude, and the prank was he was gonna walk up on this woman in New York, and he was gonna basically grab her ass, right, while she's walking past him. And when he went to grab her ass, like, she punched the shit out of him, right? And then you find out later that they had staged the whole fucking thing so that they could post the shit on YouTube, right? And so when you do these sorts of pranks and you do this with people who aren't in on the joke, you're going to fuck around and find out you got the wrong one. Because, like, especially in this time, in this climate, it's a whole lot of black folks who walk around packing because, like, and not only that, like, I think this kid was white, too. But there's a whole bunch of people who walk around packing, man, who's just like, man, like, they with the shits, man. Like, leave them alone. And he fucked around and found out that he got the wrong one. Now, it's a damn shame that he lost his life over trying to, like, do some shit for YouTube. But it also kind of speaks to the whole idea of, like, how we do every fucking thing for the consumption of others. Like, everything about our lives to a certain point, man, like... And we're at a point now, man, especially when it comes to, like, the kids and stuff, like, you know, people who are, like, 25 and younger, where, like, your whole life, social media has kind of been a thing. Like, you don't know life without social media, and you share just about everything with your life. And, like, so you do these things because, you know, you is only natural for you to want to share these things, and it's only natural for you to want to, like, you know, just, like, kind of entertain folks in this way. But, yo, man, like, that's... Like, he found out the, like, and paid the ultimate price for the joke, man. Like, I don't know if anybody who's willing to pay the ultimate price for a joke like that, but he did, man. And it's sad, but it's in Blue Blazes, man. He fucked around and found out. Another story that we got here, man. in blue blazers. Apple is apparently coming out with a new foldable phone, and they are targeting this phone towards a younger demographic.
Who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this, nigga? This is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, that was the wrong one.
God damn!
God damn and assisted. Like, why are you targeting the old, like the young people, Apple? Why are you targeting them? But I'm going to read the story here. This comes out of phonearena.com. It says, Procer's sources didn't give him a reason why Apple picked one foldable design over the other, but did say that the clamshell form factor is getting most of the attention from Apple, and we'd assume Foxconn as well. The tipster did say that Apple is looking to offer its clamshell foldable in a variety of colors, and that these won't be just any colors. Procer refers to them as fun colors, which calls to mind the brighter, vivid hues of the iPhone 12 models as compared to the iPhone 12 Pro units. This suggests that Apple will target its flip phone to a younger audience that might be suffering after buying GameStop at $300 and selling it at $60. In other words, these potential buyers might not be loaded with cash. That doesn't mean that Apple will be giving the phone away, but it could be tagged with a lower price than expected. If you remember how Polaroid marketed its swinger camera in the mid-1960s, nigga, what? Perhaps Apple will take the same tack and market the iPhone flip towards the younger generation. Now, first things first, man. First things first. As a current foldable user, I like to, you know, just tell my iPhone compatriots that welcome to the party. You know, when y'all finally do get here. Also, again, like I said, why in the fuck would they market this to the younger people, man? Like, think about this. Many of the people like myself who grew up in the early days of the cell phone, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when it got down from the brick and shit, and you actually had something you could walk around with your pocket and whatnot, and you had the little clamshell. Like, everybody remember the StarTAC? Y'all remember the StarTAC? StarTAC was the shit, right? Y'all remember the Razor phone? Like, the Razor phone was the shit. It was the shit so much, they even brought the Razor back. Niggas buying Razor phones, you know what I'm saying? Foldable screens, you know what I'm saying? The Galaxy phone, like, I got the Galaxy Z Fold 2, you know what I'm saying? But then they got the Galaxy Flip and shit, and it's like, it give you that, when you want to hang up on a nigga, man, you know, you just go, like, young people ain't really up on the, they can't really appreciate that. Just when you really mad at a motherfucker, you want to hang up on a nigga, and my hand just kind of tight, so it ain't, I can't really get that, ah, you know what I'm saying? But like everybody back in the day, man, when you was mad at a nigga, man, and you went to hang up on a motherfucker, man, like you just like, ah, motherfucker. It was something that you felt good about when you was able to hang up on somebody like that when you was pissed. And we've kind of gotten away from that, you know what I'm saying? So much so that, like I said, I don't think the young kids can really appreciate that, which is why I don't think Apple should really be marketing to them. Marketing to the people that, like, you know, can appreciate the fact that when you want to hang up on a nigga, you can, like, hang up on a nigga, you know what I'm saying? You close the phone and the phone goes off, you know, I'm like, man, fuck you, man. You know? But, you know, like I said, welcome Apple to the club. It'll be nice for y'all to finally get here. All right, so yeah, that's been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
This nigga just say Blue Blazers.
All right, now we've got a new segment here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. And it's born from like some of the current news that's happening, man. A lot of things are going on social, politically. You know, we did have an insurrection, like the government almost like was taken over by a bunch of, you know, racist bigots who didn't think the laws applied to them at all. But yo, you know, the democracy stood, and you know, some of these people are about to face some consequences, man. And so this segment is about the introduction of consequences to people who thought that they were immune to them. And so we go with our new segment when it comes to the riot and the insurrectionist. We call it our new segment, You're Going to Jail Now.
You're going to jail now.
Okay, what's up, nigga?
You going to jail.
Yeah, man. So our first story here, and You're Going to Jail, has to do with... Yo, where the hell is all of my stories, bruh? Hold on a second. Let me see something. Something's wrong here. Jesus Christ, man. I thought you had this shit taken care of. Where is it? Okay, so some of these may be in the wrong place. Nah, that shit literally just deleted some of my stories. Well, ain't that about a monkey's bare-assed uncle? Okay, so yeah, let me go back to this here then. I'll be damned. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay, I had two different Western names. Okay. Whew. But, yo, so our first story here in going to jail is Jenna Ryan, right? Now, Jenna Ryan was one of the women who were at the Capitol. She was identified at the Capitol. As a matter of fact, Jenna Ryan even went so far as to ask Donald Trump if she could get a pardon for her role in the in the insurrection. For those of you who need a bit of a refresher, let's pull Jenna Ryan up and this particular pardon request that she asked for. So check this out. She says she felt wronged, y'all.
It was a very strange experience, arrested by the FBI. They're very professional, and it was a very strange feeling. I felt like I was doing my patriotic duty. So me personally, I do not feel a sense of shame or guilt from my heart from what I was doing. But I was following my president. I thought I was following what we were called to do, flying there. He asked us to fly there. He asked us to be there. Mm-hmm. So I was doing what he asked us to do. So as far as in my heart of hearts, do I feel like a criminal? No.
Here's an insurrectionist basically indicting Donald Trump for the very shit that the Senate refused to do today. But, you know, it's hard to convict a motherfucker when you're an accomplice to the crime, man. Let's just be honest.
I feel guilty. No, but I do feel wronged.
She felt wronged.
I'm like, okay, I'm a real estate agent, and this is like my business. It's I'm getting slandered all over the internet, all over the world, and all the news. I would like a pardon from the president of the United States. I think that we all deserve a pardon. I'm facing prison sentence. I think that I do not deserve that, and I think every person, you know, from what I understand, everyone's going to be arrested. That was there. So I think everyone deserves a pardon, and I would ask the president of the United States to give me a pardon.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. No wonder you get D's and everything.
Yeah, man. So she asked for a pardon. She didn't get it. She didn't get it. She didn't get it. And as a matter of fact, like when it came to the Trump administration even acknowledging this lady, it was more so just like, you know? Just didn't get her what she thought she was going to get, right? Now, we're hearing again from this Jenna Ryan lady. And this time, she's talking about the remorse that she feels for the fact that she was involved in the Capitol riot.
God damn!
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, your head flips and spins and shit with the, like, the way that the shit is being like, you know, how quickly the consequences are meeting them, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't think any consequences was coming. So we get this story here. This comes out of BusinessInsider.com. It says, Jenna Ryan, a Texas real estate agent who infamously took a private plane to Washington, D.C. to attend what turned into the riot at the U.S. Capitol and who has since been criminally charged over the insurrection, now says she is embarrassed by her actions and regrets everything. On January 15th, Ryan was arrested and charged with two federal misdemeanor counts of knowingly entering and remaining in a restricted government building without lawful authority and disorderly conduct. Ryan told the Washington Post that she felt abandoned by the group of patriots who she said she came to the nation's capital to support. I bought into a lie. Wait, hold on. I bought into a lie, and the lie is the lie, and it's embarrassing. She said, I regret everything. As the FBI outlined in an affidavit, Ryan's participation in the riot was well documented on social media. Video footage from the event showed Ryan in the crowd that breached the Capitol wearing a Trump beanie hat. She also promoted her real estate business. Now, she said she was losing her business, but she promoted that shit while she was there with her full name to one of the many cameras rolling at the event. Ryan also posed for a photo next to a broken window at the Capitol with a peace hand signal, according to the affidavit captioning this photo on Twitter. Window at the Capitol. And if the news doesn't stop lying about us, we're going to come after their studios next. This is what she said. After the attack, she also bragged on Twitter. We just stormed the Capitol. It was one of the best days of my life. Ryan told the Post that she didn't come to Washington, D.C. to storm the Capitol, but got swept up in the action when her group saw then-President Donald Trump on TV at their hotel telling his supporters to fight like hell. Trump is now facing his second Senate impeachment trial, which he got acquitted from, on a charge of inciting the January 6th insurrection. So, consequences, meet Jenna. Jenna, meet consequences. And you're going to jail. Oh, I mean, it's a misdemeanor, so she might not go to jail. But yo, man, it's like, it's crazy. But like, you know, suddenly she put out that plea for that pardon, and that pardon didn't come. So all of it, now I'm embarrassed. I fell for the lie. I was stupid. You know, it's crazy to me too. You know, I can see how you would believe that I deserve some jail time now. I can see now that I was off the deep end for a little bit, but you know, I'm coming back. You know, I'm coming back to myself, and I'm coming back to be, you know, regular Jenna. You know, not MAGA Jenna, but like regular Jenna. I'm coming back to her, and I would love for you guys to give me an opportunity to just come back to her. I don't really want to meet that consequences guy you guys are talking about. Like, you know, keep him over there. You know, I just really want to get back to Jenna, like the regular Jenna, who's like the real estate agent who wants to sell houses. All right. So, yeah, that's in You Going to Jail. Another story that we got in You Going to Jail is Jenny Cudd. Jenny Cudd was also at the Capitol. She was also one of those folks who were like all over social media, all over the all over like the cameras and shit like that. Now, she was initially she was initially arrested for misdemeanor charges, but she has now been arrested for, she's been charged with more charges, but they're like, now these are all felonies and shit. So let's pull this video up of Jenna Cudd and what the hell she got going on. Jenny Cudd, let's see what.
To get there were people that were starting to climb the scaffolding. And we just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and yelled go and yelled charge and on and on and on.
Midlander Jenny Cudd and Eliel Rosa in more hot water involving the riots at the U.S. Capitol. They both face five more charges, and this time they're federal. They're felonies. That's our top story tonight. Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Cruz. Cudd and Rosa had been facing two misdemeanor charges, but things just got a whole lot more serious. Tatum Gwynn has been looking over the new charges. Tatum, what are they accused of doing?
Yeah, Crystal, today's charges are in addition to the two misdemeanors they were charged with last month.
Like, I know, for those of you who aren't watching the show live right now, you can't really see this, but, like, yo, man, she's, like, it's weird, man. Like, a lot of these folks were doing this shit for social media. They were doing it for the gram. They were doing it for the YouTube. They were doing it for the Facebook. They wanted to document themselves committing crimes, bro. Like, it's like the craziest shit in the world. Like, we always talk about, like, how, like, you know, like, the police don't really have to, like, do a whole hell of a lot of work when it comes to, like, some of these criminals, because the criminals tell on themselves, like drug dealers, rappers telling on themselves in the songs and shit like that. These motherfuckers live streamed their crimes, bruh. Live streamed it. And now, like, consequences is meeting Jenny Cudd because she thought she wasn't going to meet consequences. Oh, man.
Breakdown of each of those charges. We have obstruction of an official proceeding, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. Each of these federal criminal charges could carry jail time. It varies for each of them. Take this one, for example, obstruction of official proceeding. That carries a maximum of 20 years in prison. That's according to the U.S. Code. Cudd and Rose said they were scheduled for a second virtual hearing with a judge in Washington, D.C. today, though Cudd's attorneys filed the motion to push back that hearing for at least 45 days. And something else to note that we've been keeping an eye on: what could all of this mean for Cudd's requested trip to Mexico? Well, still no word on a judge's decision on whether or not to allow Cudd's request to travel to Riviera Maya, Mexico later this month for a bonding retreat with her employees and their spouses.
Like, think about how fucking ballsy you gotta be, man. Like, whiteness must be so good, man. It must be so good. We're like, yo, I'm facing felony charges for storming a fucking United States Capitol. But you know what? Hey, judge, so I got this trip I had planned. You know, you mind, like, let me do this? It's for my business. It's like a binding trip for my employees and shit. Like, is this, like, letting her out of the country, like, to escape consequences, right? Because I'm going to go to Mexico. Like, the irony of that, too. The irony of going to Mexico, considering the fact that Trump had so much cash shit to talk about Mexico. The irony of going to Mexico of all places, man. But yo, man, going to jail, maybe, right? Going to jail, maybe. And I know that's the name of this of the segment, but like, yo, man, it's just weird, man. Like watching these consequences meet these motherfuckers is just kind of weird. Now, another story that we got here is the QAnon shaman. Right, the QAnon shaman is also in going to jail, and the reason why the QAnon shaman isn't going to jail because his tune has also changed since he's been meeting Sir Consequence. Right, as a matter of fact, he is now apologizing and has said he also believed a lie and he felt duped, misused, and abused.
Who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this, nigga? This is ridiculous.
All right, so let's see. Let me pull this story up. And yeah, the QAnon shaman. We get this from ABC News in channel ABC7NewYork.com. It says an Arizona man who participated in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol while sporting face paint, no shirt, and a furry hat with horns now says he regrets storming the building, apologized for causing fear in others, and expressed disappointment with former President Donald Trump. In a statement released late Monday through his attorney, Jacob Chansley said he has reevaluated his life since being jailed for over a month on charges stemming from the riot and now realizes he shouldn't have entered the Capitol building. Oh, now you get it. Oh, now you get it. Oh, wow. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. It says Chansley, who previously said Trump inspired him to be in Washington on January 6th, said Trump led a lot of peaceful people down. Nigga, does that look peaceful to y'all? I saw police, man. I saw police getting their ass whooped, bruh. With like American flags. I saw fucking Confederate flags walking through the U.S. Capitol and shit. Like the losers was like claimed to win that day. Like 150 some odd years later. Like, but like the losers claimed to win. They was able to like march through the Capitol with the Confederate flag, bro. What kind of shit is that? Like a police officer lost their life. Like we saw other police officers like getting crushed and shit. I saw a whole bunch of people who were talking about they back the blue when it came to like Black Lives Matter. It's just all of a sudden turning like fuck the blue right to the blue's face when the blue was just trying to do their fucking job to keep them away from the Capitol. We saw white people chasing that black officer, Eugene Goodman, the one who just got the Congressional Gold Medal for his heroism and shit. They was chasing the fuck out of Eugene Goodman. He was leading them away, but still they wanted to do something to Eugene Goodman too. They didn't give a fuck about the police then, which is what I've going back to some shit we've always said, they don't give a fuck about the police. They just want the police to keep their boots on the necks of black folks. That's what all that All Lives Matter, back to blue shit was always about. It was never about actually supporting the fucking cops. That's bullshit. It's always been bullshit. That day exposed so much bullshit. If nothing else, if you didn't get anything else from that January 6th shit, you should have gotten the fact that, like, they don't really believe the shit that they say that they believe. Law and order? What the fuck does law and order mean when we gonna storm the goddamn Capitol? We back the blue until the blue ain't really, like, letting us do what the fuck we want to do. Right? So it's always been bullshit. So Chansley said he's coming to terms with the events leading up to the riot and asked people to be patient with me and other peaceful people who, like me, are having a very difficult time piecing together all that happened to us. Around us and by us. We're good people who care deeply about our country. Man, fuck you, man. Like, I'm sorry, man. I'm just...
Will you shut up, man? Listen.
Yeah, I ain't, man. Like, just...
First of all, fuck you.
Yeah, man. Fuck all that shit, bro. Like, peaceful people, man. Suck my dick, man. There wasn't nothing peaceful about that shit. Oh, man. Chance's attorney, Al Watkins, released a statement about a half day before Trump's impeachment trial was scheduled to begin in the U.S. Senate. Watkins, who had unsuccessfully sought a pardon on Chansley's behalf, again, when it came to them pardons, ain't none of them get shit from Trump, man. They did all that shit on behalf of this motherfucker, right? Here's the tripped out part about this. You got these silly motherfuckers who decided that they was going to commit crimes on behalf of Donald Trump because they felt like Donald Trump told them to do this. They were so in on this whole Donald Trump shit, this autocracy shit, this motherfucker, basically anointing this motherfucker as a king so much, right? They got so far in on it that they were willing to commit crimes on his behalf. Now they're going to jail. Some of them are in jail. Some of them are being charged with crimes that could lead them to go to jail. Some of them may even lose their businesses because of their attachment and their love for Donald Trump. and they're going to get more motherfucking consequences meted on them. Like the consequences going to be all over their ass. Meanwhile, the political class in America has essentially let Donald Trump off the hook. Well, Republicans essentially have let Donald Trump off the hook. He's not going to get any sort of like consequence when it comes to not being able to run for federal office. Now, again, we talked about maybe he faces some credit, you know, some sort of criminal trial. Maybe if he's convicted as a felon, then he gets, you know, he's no longer able to run as a for a federal office then. But yo, man, like these people committed these crimes on behalf of this dude, and they're going to see more consequences than he was when he was the one who kicked off the whole shit, and they were doing it for his benefit. That's crazy to me. And that's in you going to jail now. Now, another story that we got in you going to jail, and this is our last one, man, is a Pittsburgh area mom. Why the fuck does her being a mom have anything to do with this? I mean, like but a Pittsburgh area mom, they found her. And so let me pull this up so you guys can watch this video right along with your man Span. Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up.
Set him off.
And we start with breaking news on the arrest of the pink cap.
Uh-oh. Comcast lacking again. Come on, man. Expand this shit.
Lady, a local mother of eight charged in the attack on the U.S. Capitol. We just got this new mother shot of her. In the last 2 hours, that woman, Rachel Powell, was in court.
And tonight, we're trying to answer this question. How did a mother of eight wind up in the middle of that attack, shouting through a bullhorn and ramming her way into the U.S. Capitol?
Because her being a mother of eight ain't got a goddamn thing to do with the fact that she's a racist bigot who believed in Donald Trump should be president for fucking life, man. Like, I don't get why they keep emphasizing the fact, hey, she's got eight kids, y'all. Yeah, she's crazy. It ain't got shit to do with how many kids she got. The woman is nuts. She's fucking nuts. All of these people are fucking nuts. I don't get it. I don't get, like, you know, but she had eight kids, you know. Who gives a shit? She stormed the fucking Capitol, bro. She thought she was going to be able to keep Donald Trump as president for life, despite the fact that this motherfucker lost a goddamn election fair and fucking square. Fuck.
Take a look at this. We got our hands on Powell's court documents, and they include photos of her in action during the attack last month. And we were there yesterday when FBI agents searched a Mercer County home in connection with her case. Chopper 11 was overhead. Law enforcement used Powell's phone number to track her movements in Washington on January 6th. And that is the same phone number Channel 11's Amy Marcinkiewicz called to speak with her yesterday.
Powell turned herself in not long after that call. And new tonight at 5, Amy has an update on what she's saying and behind bars.
She's in custody here at the Butler County Prison. Sources have told me she is very upset that she has to wear a mask inside. Channel 11, the first to bring you the breaking details. Rachel Powell, a mother of eight, wanted by the FBI, taken into custody early Friday morning. Officials say she turned herself in at an FBI satellite center in Newcastle. She's made national news after her pink hat was seen on various viral videos during the riot at the Capitol. Chopper 11 was overhead as the FBI raided her Mercer County home Thursday looking for her. I spoke to her shortly after that raid when she answered her cell phone. Now, she wouldn't answer my questions about where she was or who she was with. Hours later, she turned herself in. Powell hired a Philadelphia lawyer to represent her at her initial appearance late this afternoon. Michael Engel told us Rachel Powell is neither a danger to her community or a flight risk. She hired counsel to assist her in turning herself into the FBI and to address these charges. It is inconceivable, he said, that she would try to run and leave her children without their mother.
Yeah, about that. Their mother left them to go commit crimes in Washington, D.C., then flew back home. It's not inconceivable. Nothing's inconceivable with this lady. She left her kids at home to go to Washington, D.C., to go commit crimes. And then she came back home where she thought consequences wasn't far behind. She thought consequences wasn't going to come see her, right? Consequences meeting a lot of these motherfuckers at their crib. He coming, bruh. It's as sure as the tax man. It's as sure as the Grim Reaper. Consequence be on your ass, bruh. So, yeah, man. Lock all their asses up. They should all be going to jail.
You going to jail now?
Okay, what's up?
You going to jail now?
What's up, nigga?
You going to jail?
But, y'all know what time it is.
That I'm proud to be an American. Where at least
That's enough of that shit. It's Proud to Be an American time here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. And our first story here in Proud to Be an American has to do with the fact that there's a dude who's running for he's running for governor here in the state of Michigan. And he's a Republican. And he believes that the thing that is going to get him over the top is to announce right off of the bat that when he becomes governor of the state of Michigan, that he's going to cancel Black History Month. Here's the rub also. The motherfucker's black, man. Yeah, we get the story here. This comes out of the MetroTimes.com. It says, Michigan's deeply conservative 2022 gubernatorial hopeful Austin Change, a black army veteran and businessman and Governor Gretchen Whitmer's first Republican challenger, announced that if elected, he would abolish Black History Month in favor of an American History Month. And to that, I just say, man. Look at the cool. So, yeah, no. He says, I will cancel Black History Month in Michigan, Chang announced on an Instagram post. It's offensive, unfair, maybe illegal. Americans from all backgrounds deserve a revered history. I'll declare American History Month. You mean, you know, the shit that they get taught already, you know, like the shit, that, like every, like all of, I'm sorry, man. This is just stupid. So some critics of Black History Month, which has been celebrated since 1970, say the appreciation of Black history should occupy more space and time than just the month of February, including actor Morgan Freeman, who called the month-long celebration ridiculous and suggested that Black history is American history during a 2005 60 Minutes interview. And fuck Morgan Freeman for that interview, man, because I remember seeing that interview and watching a whole bunch of white folks glom onto that fucking interview to say how ridiculous having Black History Month is. Man, fuck that. Because if it hadn't been for the implementation of Black History Month, a lot of the history that is taught in Black History Month wouldn't have been taught. And it truthfully speaking, it's not like y'all teaching a shit ton of Black history even in that month. For a long time, man, I can remember coming up when I was in Detroit public schools, man, like elementary school age, I can remember like we got taught about Harriet Tubman, we got taught about Martin Luther King, we watched Eyes on the Prize. We got taught a little bit about Malcolm X. That was it, like the extent of like Langston Hughes, Ida B. Wells. You know, we got some little cursory knowledge of them. And they used to pass out little buttons. Man, y'all remember the buttons? You know what I'm saying? If you came to school every day doing Black History Month, you get a button every day. And it'd be like a button for like, you know, a black person. Like, so you got a Charles Drew button, and you got your Harriet Tubman button, and you got your Ida B. Wells button, you got your Malcolm X button, and you got your Martin Luther King button. And you wanted to collect all the buttons and shit. So it was like it was a good way to get like kids come to school every day because you want to collect all the buttons and stuff, right? And they did this shit every year, right? Get your little buttons. But the actual depth of the history, the actual like the actual fight that a lot of them had to deal with during their time wasn't really taught to us. We were taught that Dr. King had a dream and then, you know, he was suddenly assassinated, you know, but his dream lives on. And then, you know, you see a McDonald's commercial with, you know, the dream and all this other stuff. Right. We were taught that, you know, Malcolm X used to be a pimp and then he turned his life around. That's essentially what a lot of them was teaching us. Like, it wasn't until I got into like high school, especially like when I got to high school in Chicago, where I started learning a lot more about a lot of these things. When I started learning about like the transatlantic slave trade, and I started learning about like what, you know, us being here in 1619, started learning about you know, other people like Bayard Rustin and Angela Davis and the Black Panthers and like things like that, things that I wasn't being taught in school during Black History Month. So the idea that they would even take that little bit away from these kids, man, fuck you. Fuck you. And so also, I see a lot like, you know, the thing about this is like a lot of people see a story like this where you see this cool ass nigga talking about he about to He about to run for Michigan's governorship, and he's going to do away with Black History Month. I'm going to tell y'all this right now, man. Mark my words. This nigga ain't winning in Michigan, bro. You need Detroit to win in Michigan. And if this you need Detroit to win in Michigan, bro. You just do. And if this nigga decides he's going to antagonize Black voters, not only just in Detroit, but like, you know, Flint and Saginaw and Grand Rapids, like, and you know, people of color, like, you know, Dearborn and, you know, some of the Grosse Pointe, you know, it's largely affluent over there. But like, if you start antagonizing these people, man, ain't no way in hell you about to win here in Michigan, bro. Like, it just, I don't know. But like, I'm letting this nigga piss me off, like, for real, for real. It says, but Ching's argument to include all Americans plays directly to former President Donald Trump's MAGA base, as well as the All Lives Matter response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Black history deserves special consideration in light of our country's sordid history of slavery, systemic racism, and racial injustice, as well as an opportunity to celebrate Black accomplishments. But Ching knows exactly what he's doing, as it was reported last year that more than 87% of U.S. Republicans believes that all lives matter, compared to 63% of Democrats who believe that Black Lives Matter. So, yo, man, that's a pride to be an American. Republicans are running a racist Black dude. Jesus Christ, man. Another story, man, that we got here, proud to be an American, is apparently, like, even though they didn't, like, they decided that they were not going to convict this dude in the Senate for the insurrection, Donald Trump had a phone call with the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, where essentially he just said, like, nah, I ain't calling them motherfuckers off, man. You deal with that shit, man.
God damn!
Yeah, we get this story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It says, in an expletive-laced phone call with House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, while the U.S. Capitol was under attack, then-President Donald Trump said the rioters cared more about the election results than Kevin McCarthy did. Well, Kevin, I guess these people are more upset about the election than you are, Trump said, according to lawmakers who were briefed on the call afterward by McCarthy. McCarthy insisted that the rioters were Trump supporters and begged Trump to call them off. Trump's comment set off what Republican lawmakers familiar with the call described as a shouting match between the two men. A furious McCarthy then told the then president the rioters were breaking into his office through the windows, and Trump and asked Trump, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? According to a Republican lawmaker familiar with the call. Now, here's the thing. Right, here's the thing. You can be all rah-rah on the phone. You know what I'm saying? You could be all like, man, who the fuck you think you talking to, nigga? I'm Kevin McCarthy, motherfucker, man. I'm the motherfucking minority leader, nigga. I run this motherfucking party, motherfucker. Like, who you think you talking to? And then when push comes to shove, you go and vote to not only not impeach the president, but you also vote to not certify the election results. And you also, like, go to Mar-a-Lago and take pictures with the president smiling and, you know, cheesing and shit. Trump knew exactly who he was talking to. He was talking to a little bitch. He was Trump's bitch, and he knew it. So you did all that shit for nothing. You did all that fucking rah-rah shit for nothing. Because you didn't even when you had the opportunity to hold that motherfucker accountable for the shit that he was doing to you. For the shit that he was doing to you. Here's the thing that I can't understand. Like, he did this shit to y'all. And y'all was still like, man, you know, well, you know, you can't really do that to him, man, you know, because, like, you know, policy and, you know, like, you know, process, man. You guys are fucking up the process, man. Y'all are some bitches, bruh. Like, straight up and down, bruh. Like, some straight up, y'all let Trump punk y'all all the way the fuck down. Like, I remember there was a time where Republicans acted like, and pretended to be against racism. Like, they were always, like, sort of, like, low-key racist and shit. But they kind of pretended to be against it. Like, I remember, what was that? My man, Steve King out of Iowa. You know what I'm saying? He said some shit about what's wrong with me and a white nationalist. And they took this motherfucker out of his committee spots, bruh. Like, they, like, yo, pretty much sidelined that nigga. Put him on the bench. But then Marjorie Taylor Greene is out here talking about how, like, you know, fucking Jewish space lasers are causing wildfires in California. like fucking Donald Trump is I'm sorry, was like, she's also in that QAnon shit, so she believes that, like, it's like this satanic cabal of Democrats who are, like, sexually trafficking children to drink their blood and shit. Like, y'all know this. There's video evidence of her saying it, and y'all, like, you know, we not gonna do that to her though, like, cause you know we have a big tent party. Like, y'all are some bitches, bruh. Straight bitches. So yeah, man. Like, they did all that shit talking about, you know, yeah, Trump knew what he was doing. Yeah, we all know Trump knew what he was doing. We all knew that. But also, we also knew that the Republicans didn't have the spine. Didn't have the motherfucking spine to do the right thing, man. They, like, we just knew that. We fucking knew that all day long, man. And it's basically what I've been saying. They are who we thought they were, bro. They are who we thought they were. So, yo, man, that's in Proud to Be an American. Our last story here in Proud to Be an American is Kyle Rittenhouse, like, you know, the motherfucker violated his bond. Judge, you know, refuses to, like, lock his dumb ass up. Despite the fact that he violated his bond, you know, I'm tired of talking about these motherfuckers, real talk. I'm just tired of talking about them. That's Proud to Be an American. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. But y'all know what time it is.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
The champ! Oh, shit. I just forget. I'm sorry. There is this one story that I do need to talk about. So, we're still in Proud to Be an American, despite the fact that we're going to own to our channel. But, Republicans, state lawmakers, are trying to punish school districts that actually teach the 1619 Project. Basically being,
they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Yeah. So it says, lawmakers in several state houses this year want to stop lesson plans that focus on the centrality of slavery to American history as presented in the New York Times' 1619 Project, previewing new battles in states over control of, over civics education. Republican lawmakers in Arkansas, Iowa, Mississippi, Missouri, and South Dakota filed bills this month that, if enacted, would cut funding to K-12 schools and colleges that provide lessons derived from the award-winning project. The South Dakota bill has since been withdrawn. Some historians say the bills are part of a larger effort by Republicans, including former President Donald Trump, to glorify a more white and patriarchal view of American history that downplays the ugly legacy of slavery and the contributions of black people, Native Americans, women, and others to the nation's founding. I'm going to just say this here, right now. This is a time-honored tradition by those who supported the Confederate States of the United States, the Confederate States of America. We've talked on this show at plenty of times about the United Daughters of the Confederacy, who went out of their way to sort of shape and mold some of the history that was told about this civil right. I'm sorry, about these, the Civil War, and how it's actually been able to miseducate millions of white folks, especially white folks in the South. Right. The Civil War. The Confederates lost that. Got their asses spanked. Got their asses handed to them. That Confederate flag should be a fucking flag of fucking surrender, right? But what the United Daughters of the Confederacy were able to do was that they were able to, like, reframe the reasoning for the war. They were able to reframe how the war played out. They were able to give dignity to the losers of said war, right? By not only dictating what was able to be able, what was to be able to be put, I'm sorry, what was to be put in the history books about the war that their kids would learn. Also, by creating social groups that would, like, that would teach an alternate history as to what the Civil War was about. And they even had catechism, like they would teach the kids, like, Civil War catechisms. And so it's very important to recognize that, like, the education of the kids when it comes to the history of this country and what it was, where this country was founded, how this country was founded, like, all of this is very important. So, like, when we have these discussions about politics in America today, a lot of this, when I talk about this, is, like, you can see, like, the history that it's rooted from. And when you know the history that it's rooted from, a lot of this shit doesn't necessarily surprise you. It's why when a Republican starts talking to you about Democrats being, you know, the party of the Ku Klux Klan, and you're like, well, nigga, the fucking Ku Klux Klan voted for Donald Trump. They with y'all now. And you can just take away the idea of progressive and conservative. There was a change. There was a flip. There was a flip. And so what the Republicans are doing now, like, think about this for a second. Why, if the Republicans were the party that wanted us, like, that freed the slaves, would they now want us not to know about the horrors that, you know, the slavery was about? Like, y'all freed us from that, right? So why then wouldn't you want anybody to learn about the travesty? Why wouldn't you want anybody to learn about the atrocities that these people were met with and you saved them from? Why wouldn't you want them to learn about that? Why wouldn't you? Make that shit make sense to me. Right? So yeah, man. That was in Proud to Be an American. I almost got away from it because I'm tired of these motherfuckers. But yo, man. Keep up the fight, bro. Like, keep up the fight. Like, this shit never ends, bro. It never ends. We try to have some levity in between the pain and shit, but this shit never ends, man. But yo, Proud, I mean, champ of the week, yo. Champ of the week, man. I'm
sorry. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right. It's champ of the week time here at the Spare and Poor Podcast, man. And our story here, our champ of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast is none other than the plastic surgeon that actually got the Gorilla Glue out of the hair of Tessica Brown, and that is Dr. Michael Obang. All right, Dr. Michael Obang is the champ of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast. We get this story here from the BBC. It says Dr. Michael Obang, the Ghanaian American. Okay, I don't understand what the fuck they did with the English on that one. But it says Tessica Brown go viral when she posts TikTok videos on to say Niwi. What the fuck is... Oh, wait, the BBC? Okay, let me... okay, Tessica Brown go viral when she posts TikTok video on to say we Niwi. For almost 1 month after she said to watch the Gorilla Glue come up from her... Okay, so there's a bit of patois here that I'm not really familiar with. But essentially, this is the thing. Dr. Michael Obang was the surgeon who got the Gorilla Glue girl's hair together, right? This woman had the Gorilla Glue in her hair. Everybody knows the story. She had the Gorilla Glue in her hair. Her hair was slicked down. It wouldn't move. She had the shit in her hair for a month. And she tried all different sorts of things. She went to the emergency room. They couldn't help her. They put acetone in her hair, alcohol, all sorts of shampoos and shit. Shit didn't work. Dr. Michael Obang gave her, like, some, you know, adhesive removal, some olive oil, and some acetone. And so he had, like, a little cocktail that he came up with. And not only was he able to remove the shit from her hair, but he was able to save her hair. And he was able to save her scalp. Because a lot of people were thinking that that wasn't going to be possible. And so, yo, man, he's a black surgeon. So I just wanted to highlight him, man. Dr. Michael Obang, man. Champ of the week this week here at the Spare and Poor Podcast. I'm not going to even talk about why that girl put that shit in her hair. That's a whole other conversation. And I'm tired of talking. But yo, man, it's time for me to get on up out of here. I've been running my mouth for quite some time. But of course, before we get up out of here, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails. Those emails will get read here and replied to here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow your man Span there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. Also, hit up our website at www.thespareandreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. Oh, shit. I almost forgot. Hold on a second. There was a poll tonight. Jesus Christ, man. What the fuck are you doing tonight, man? What's wrong with you? There was a poll tonight on as to whether or not you guys believe Election Day should be a holiday. All right? And the poll results are 55% of the respondents to this poll believe that, let's make it easy for every eligible voter to vote. So, yes, make it, Election Day should be a holiday. 55% of the people who responded to this poll said so. 18% say if they paying me for time off, then yeah. But if they not, then no. So 18% of y'all, like, y'all kind of like wishy-washy on this shit. Another 18% of y'all are just saying y'all ain't sure. And another 9% of y'all said, I voted meaningless polls like this, but I don't vote for real. So yeah, man, fuck y'all. But yo, that's been the poll. We got a comment to the poll. And Jesse writes in, says, I'm going to vote in every local, state, and federal election regardless. If it's made into a paid holiday and makes it easier for people to vote that otherwise couldn't because of the ridiculous logistics often involved, why not? Not to mention that folks can't vote because missing a bill or a meal. Unfortunately, those in power that reap the benefits of voter suppression will do their damnedest to make sure it never happens. And that's the thing. That's the thing. I don't know if it'll happen because we got so much resistance to it. And we got ambivalence also that's working against us. But also, we got people who have a vested interest in you not being able to be able to vote, man. So, that's the thing. I can't believe I was getting ready to get up out of here before doing that. But also, yeah, like I said, go to the website, www.thespareport.com. Watch replays of the show. Vote in those polls like the one that we had tonight, man. Vote in those polls. Also, you can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. Shout out to our Patreon patrons that allow for us to do this show here live on not only just YouTube, but Periscope, Twitch, and Facebook. So we'd like simulcasting on four different places right now. And you can watch this video later on the website, right? So go ahead and do that, man. The website is your one-stop shop for everything Spare Report podcast related, man. Also, give us a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We appreciate everybody who does that, man. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. I'm tired, y'all. I've been talking for a while. It was like an hour and 40 minutes, and it was just me. Yeah, I'm tired, man. And I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.